Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
In previous episodes of the main podcast, Kellen and I touched on demographic issues. And, you know, in the coming decades, there are all sorts of interesting complexities that'll be introduced into the system as our demographics shift. There was an article from earlier this year that focuses on specifically one of those complexities, one of those potential issues that we're going to face. And it was titled this: The U.S. will need 9.3 million home healthcare workers. Without immigrants, who's going to care for our aging parents? I've heard much about this particular part of the demographic shift, which is that we're going to have a surge of elderly people. And where I've heard mostly about this is in what people call the opportunity side of things, the wealth transfer that will happen as boomers retire, as they sell their businesses, as they pass their businesses down to their children. There's a very large, the largest wealth transfer that we've ever had that will take place. But with that retirement, and with that increased aging, comes the need to care for those folk. The U.S. right now has about 6.2 million people over the age of 85. By 2040, they're projecting that number should more than double to over 13 million. And by 2060, it's expected to be at 19 million or more. On top of that, we're seeing increasing rates of things like dementia, Alzheimer's, and other types of diseases that can affect elderly people and require that they need more intensive care. At the same time that this is happening, at least currently, we're seeing a weakening of the economic situation of younger people. The option to, you know, host your elderly parents at home, or to maybe build, you know, a mother-in-law suite, or to house them in a room of yours, that is decreasing as less and less people are able to own homes. As people are renting houses and as rent becomes more and more expensive, the number of extra bedrooms that people have available is decreasing as well. So the ability for people to get their parents' care in facilities, as that becomes more expensive, and yet they also are struggling to bring them home and allow them to live with them. So it creates this very interesting, potentially catastrophic problem for everyone involved. Well, one of the things making this so much harder is the way that these healthcare workers, whether they're home healthcare or those working in facilities, the way that they are paid and what the treatment of those workers is basically causing to happen today. So I'm going to read through some of this article. This is from a site called Off the Front Page. Their tagline is Uncovering the Finance and Politics Behind Today's Headlines. So it says this: America's aging fast. While demand is skyrocketing, the supply of workers is already strained. Turnover in the home healthcare field is sky high, nearly 80% a year. That is astronomically high for a turnover rate. If 10 new people are hired into the job, 8 of them have quit by the end of the year. And it says, wages remain painfully low. In 2022, the median hourly wage for home care workers was just $14.50. Annual earnings averaged around $20,000. And across all direct care occupations, the numbers aren't much better. The median wage for direct care workers in 2023 was just $16.72 per hour. As a result, 37% of the workforce lives in or near poverty, and nearly half, 49%, rely on public assistance programs to get by. Arnulfo de la Cruz said, "This is poverty work. It's done primarily by women at rates that are a tiny bit above minimum wage." Arnulfo is the president of SEIU Local 2015, which represents over 500,000 long-term care workers in California. Now, there's a section here titled, Immigrants Are Holding Up the System. Immigrants make up a huge portion of the direct care workforce. About a third of home care workers are immigrants, and many are employed through Medicaid-funded consumer direction programs or hired privately in the so-called gray market. But recent immigration policies under the Trump administration are putting those jobs at risk. Work permits are being revoked, humanitarian parole programs have been cut, and temporary protected status is being rolled back for hundreds of thousands of workers from Venezuela, Haiti, Cuba, and Nicaragua. This is not just about ICE going out and arresting or deporting immigrants. It's not just about the flashy videos that you see on the street. Those are epically terrible, but behind the scenes, there are these, you know, there's visas being revoked, there's temporary protected statuses that are being revoked for hundreds of thousands of people, and many of those people are working in this occupation. Like it says here, a third of home health care workers are immigrants. Jenny Murray, president of the National Immigration Forum, says, without them, people will have trouble finding care and will be forced to go without care. De La Cruz added, if there is no one to provide care, people will get sicker. They will have to turn to emergency rooms and hospitals. It goes on to say, home care jobs are physically and emotionally demanding. Workers often juggle part-time schedules, unpaid caregiving for their own families, and still don't earn enough to make ends meet. About 43% of home care workers are part-time, and nearly 40% live in low-income households. A third are housing cost burdened, spending more than 30% of their income on rent or mortgage. Even with pandemic-era funding, wage increases have stalled. In fact, adjusted for inflation, home care wages fell from 2021 to 2022. This makes me think of my own grandma, who is 99. She turns 100 here in January. Her husband, who passed away a couple of years ago in his late 90s, lived with her as well as their son, who is in his 70s. He himself in his 70s is not the most healthy and is not able to fully care for them. I am so grateful for the fact that she has access to healthcare workers that will come visit, help make sure that she is bathed, make sure that she's got her medicine. My parents, you know, my uncles are down there visiting frequently. She lives a couple of hours away, and there's only so much that children can do working full-time jobs. I shudder to think of millions of people like my grandmother going without the care that they need. The article asks the question, who will fill the gap? With fewer immigrants able to work legally in the U.S., families are being pushed into tough decisions. Some turn to the gray market, hiring off-the-book workers with no regulation or protections. Others are forced to reduce their own work hours or quit jobs to care for aging relatives. At the same time, demand keeps rising. Between 2021 and 2031, home care is expected to add more new jobs than any other occupation in the country, and that's not even counting the need to replace workers who leave the field altogether. Targeting immigration and Medicaid is the perfect storm for attacking care, De La Cruz said. We will not be able to meet the needs of the elderly. People will go without care. It ends it by saying what they feel needs to happen. Industry leaders are calling for immigration reform and better pay. Some are pushing for home care visa to help bring in qualified caregivers. Others want higher Medicaid reimbursement rates tied to wage improvements. Right now, though, the gap is widening, and without action, a generation of aging Americans could find themselves without the basic help they need to live at home. The numbers are clear, the need is urgent, and the workers we rely on most are being pushed out. A discussion about this article contained a comment that I thought was interesting, basically stating that elder care in general is a massive wealth transfer scheme. The idea is to scrape the last bit of wealth from the boomers and feed crumbs to the people doing the real work. And it's interesting to think about it that way. These are people at the end of their lives with whatever wealth they may have accumulated throughout their careers. And in many cases, you know, the owners of these companies, whether they be home health care or whether they be retirement homes, you know, they may view this as a way to take as much wealth as possible from these people before they pass. I'm not saying that that's necessarily true in every case. But the fact that these programs are as expensive as they are, and that the workers who are out in the field, on the job, doing these very physically and emotionally demanding workloads are being paid relatively nothing, and they themselves are struggling, leading to 80% churn every year. Another commenter said, a girl I dated was a CNA. That job nearly destroyed her, all for less than what I was making stocking shelves at a supermarket. She loved her patients, but the insane hours being understaffed and the physical toll on her body was not worth at all what she was making. If you're thinking about entering this field, don't. I also have known several people in my life. When I was in college, I had, you know, friends and acquaintances who worked as CNAs or who worked in home health care. And it was a constant barrage of nightmare stories and just overall dissatisfaction with the work and with the pay. Most of them also complained about management of those companies, the way they were treated by the owners and leadership. All this is happening at a time as well when, with technological advancements, it allows people to live longer, which increases the demand here. But alternately, we also have this issue of people getting sicker. Obesity rates in the U.S. continue to skyrocket. There's an article this week titled "Ultra-Processed Food Linked to Harm in Every Major Human Organ," study finds. I don't want to read too far into this article today, but essentially, companies are able to create more and more food in mass at cheaper rates due to the ability to do ultra-processed food. Fresh food is expensive. Making food in an unhealthy way with tons of preservatives and all of that is the much easier and more cost-effective way to go. And as groceries get more expensive, and that is what people can afford, more and more people are consuming these ultra-processed foods, which, according to the study, are harming nearly every major human organ. On top of that, you find that farms, where those fresh foods and ingredients are supposed to be coming from, are also increasing the use of PFAS, of forever chemicals, that once in our body do not leave, that cause cancers. One article again this week stated that California farms applied millions of pounds of PFAS to key crops. The Trump administration continues to roll back regulations, to make cuts in the FDA, to help ensure that the foods that we're consuming are safe for consumption. And this will also inevitably lead to shortcuts that will continue to make it more unhealthy. And I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that as we continue to age, diseases are likely to continue to increase. Technological advancements are helping people to live longer, and in some cases, they are solving diseases. I think in many cases, they're helping simply to treat diseases, not necessarily curing them altogether, but helping them to be treated in a way that are manageable, that help us to live longer. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we're living better. So as the demographics continue to change and as people age and those diseases become more and more frequent, again, the need for more healthcare is going to increase. With current cuts to Medicaid and other government programs, it's making it more and more unlikely that people are going to be able to afford the level of healthcare that they're going to require. So we're caught in this really tricky feedback loop of needing more healthcare workers. To get them, we need to pay them more. To pay them more, it may require that costs go up. But subsidies are going away and people are making less, so they can't pay more. And the catch-22 continues. And worst of all is that at least here in the U.S., we have an administration that does not seem to care about people's health or people's wallet. They don't have a desire to come up with a new healthcare plan that will allow people to afford to get the treatment they need. Instead, they're doing everything they can to cut SNAP benefits, to remove the ACA subsidies, which is causing many people's healthcare premiums to double, and there's no solution in sight. Years ago, Trump spoke of concepts of a plan, and those concepts have not even emerged yet as ideas. All right, that's all for today. I appreciate you for being here. I know this one was a little bit shorter, but I don't think that makes it any less impactful. If you have people in your life, or if you yourself are approaching the elderly years, now is a great time to make whatever plans possible to live the best possible in a world that does not contain as many healthcare workers or home health workers as needed. It's also a reminder to everyone to strive to live as healthy as possible, to strive to keep your exercise up, to watch what you eat, et cetera, so that you are less likely to experience the sicknesses and harms necessary that make home health more requisite in those later years. All right, talk to you later. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.